Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a very busy Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm Straight Flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter X at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got some awesome guests for you today. Coming up at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Time, 1:20 p.m. Pacific today, from the Ole Miss football team, senior safety Trey Washington will join us after Ole Miss laid the beatdown on Georgia on Saturday. And then coming up in the final hour of the show on this Monday at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific, will be joined by the head football coach of Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, will join us as you did have his team go to LSU and not only beat LSU, but they beat the brakes off LSU. That was really impressive. And now you have Alabama and now you have Ole Miss in last moments to try to put themselves in playoff position. They were on their last breaths. We walked into this weekend of college football where it was enormous in Ole Miss, Georgia, in Alabama, LSU. I told you on Friday, I liked Alabama to just defeat LSU, and I was very confident that Ole Miss was going to beat Georgia. But we ended up seeing was Ole Miss and Alabama were clearly better than LSU and Georgia. Now, when you get to Georgia, even though I loved Ole Miss in the game nationally, that's the most stunning. Because here's what happens now. It's not that Ole Miss beat Georgia, but it's the aftermath of what comes, even in a 12-team format, of Georgia losing that game. So Georgia already lost earlier in the season to Alabama. Now they suffered their second loss of the season to Ole Miss. Not only are the stocks of now Alabama and Ole Miss rising, and they're booming to go make a 12-team college football playoff, but you look at Georgia, and I fully anticipate this on the Tuesday rankings, which, let me tell you, last week I did not think the Tuesday ranking show was worth turning into. Like, outside of that it's the first time it's ever going down and you get to see what the bracket looks like. But it was pretty obvious if you follow college football like I do to predict it, and that's why I was able to predict it. You know, some other talk show host, they can't find a way to predict that when it was like right in front of them, all the answers to the test. But this week, and what's going to happen tomorrow, and when these rankings coming out, I don't care if you're the most astute football person, college football person in the country, you truly have no clue how the order and who the 12 teams are going to be. Like, just who they're going to put as the bye spot in the ACC and also in the Big 12 is up for debate. More so the ACC, not really the Big 12. But you look now at this 12-team playoff, I don't think Georgia is going to be in the top 12 this upcoming week. I don't. Now with two losses. And it's all about when you suffer those losses. And Georgia's season goes from last week. Isn't it funny? Where last week I was like, I could see 3 to 4 teams maybe winning the national championship this year. Georgia was one of those teams, along with Oregon and Ohio State. And I said, Texas is lurking. Like, they're circling. They're like a shark. And they're getting ready to pounce. But they weren't ready to be viewed as a top three team yet. After this weekend, I have to expand that list. I do. And there's like now 8 to 9 teams that I could actually envision going on out there and winning a national championship. But Tennessee plays Georgia this weekend. That's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern time game on ABC on Saturday night. And there's a realistic chance after this weekend that Georgia's season could be donezo. It could be over. Because Carson Beck right now, he stinks. I have never been more right on a player in the last 4 or 5 weeks than I've been on Carson Beck. And welcome everybody else to the party on realizing what we were told Carson Beck was going to be. You know, going to be the first overall pick of the draft, was going to win a Heisman Trophy, was going to lead Georgia to a national championship. And when I've watched Carson Beck, I keep on saying it, he turns the football over too many times. He doesn't have that just fiery leadership that you see from the great quarterbacks. And also, You look at Carson Beck, they have won in spite of him this year, not because of him. So I am told Carson Beck is like the 10 out of 10, and for most of this year, he's been like a 4 out of 10. And still Georgia, up until this last week, was viewed as this force and this juggernaut and this unbelievable team. But a big reason why I liked Ole Miss in the game was because I didn't believe in Carson Beck. And look at the team that they're playing this weekend. It's very similar in the way that Ole Miss plays to the way that Tennessee plays in terms of the way that we talked about them. You know, they have a quarterback. They have a quarterback who's been up and down, right? Jackson Dart's been up and down this week, this year. Nico Yamaliava's been up and down, the youngster at Tennessee. And then defensively, Tennessee's defense has been the surprise story with that team. And if you look back at Ole Miss and Georgia, if you look at the Georgia offense, the Georgia defense, the Ole Miss offense, the Ole Miss defense, who was the best unit in the game when you factor all four in, even throwing special teams? It wasn't even close. It was that Rebels defense of Ole Miss. So what I see with Tennessee are similarities that we just saw with Ole Miss. Now, it doesn't mean that Tennessee is going to beat Georgia. But right now, I saw that Georgia is a 9-point favorite. A 9-point favorite? You know, I may log on to my app right after this segment, and I may plus the 9 points right now. Even though I don't usually like to do that on Monday because feelings can change throughout the week. But my, oh my, the performance by Georgia this past weekend, it was lethargic. And we have the face of college football open and the team to beat in college football clearly open. And it's almost like there was a hubris with this Georgia program. Where I understand the last few years they've only really lost to Alabama. Now you throw Ole Miss in that mix. But Georgia, even though they've replaced a lot of that talent, they lost some big-time players for that program through the last few years. Stetson Bennett, obviously Brock Bowers, McConkey. Like, they've lost, and the defense, you know, just look at the Eagles' defense. You'll see all the talent that is from Georgia. They lost a significant amount of talent. And we've seen this before. Alabama was the standard in college football for the last 15 years. Other people have had moments. Like, right, Ohio State has had a moment. Michigan had a moment. Clemson had a few moments. But it's so tough. Georgia has had moments. But there's a difference in having moments and then becoming a dynasty. And Georgia was on the verge of becoming a dynasty in college football with the two national championships under Kirby Smart. And last year they lost in the SEC championship game to Alabama, then missed the playoffs. And now with the 12-team format, we are living in a realistic world where Georgia could miss the playoff in a 12-team format. No one would have thought that would have been the case before the season. Heck, how about a week ago? But Georgia's season is now on life support after losing to Ole Miss, and we'll see how they're going to respond up against Tennessee, who could absolutely take care of business and nail the coffin shut on Georgia coming up on Saturday. So this has just been crazy. This has just been wild when you look at this season of college football. And you guys know me. I sit on my couch every Saturday. I watch all the college games. I sit on my couch Sunday. And I watch all the NFL games. Like, I went to my parents' house this weekend, and my mom goes, "Do you ever just get tired with how much football that you have to watch?" Like, that's how much football I watch. The college football this year has been so much more entertaining, fun, and better than the NFL. The college football has been sensational because even though there's teams that we look at that we go, are really going to be tough to beat, right? They look like they have the inside track to win it all. With however many weeks that we're in now, with 2-3 games left for these teams in the regular season, depending on which team you are, you don't have a damn clue who's going to win a national championship. Because even though Oregon looks great, even though Ohio State had a good win up against Penn State, you know, I can't sit here and tell you that definitely Oregon's going to win it all or definitely Ohio State's going to win it all. And now you have teams that we did write off in Alabama and Ole Miss that now, the way that we talked about them at times this year, you know, for Alabama after Georgia and Ole Miss before the season did start, they're now starting to resemble those teams that we got to see or that we thought that they could be. So it leads me to this question, and it's not a simple question. I actually think it could be the toughest college football question that I've ever asked. Moving forward for the rest of the season, who's more dangerous? Is it Ole Miss or is it Alabama? It's tough because the way that I'll answer it this way, I think Alabama is more dangerous, but the team that I have more confidence in is actually Ole Miss. You look at Ole Miss and their two losses, it's by a combined 6 points. They lost by a field goal to Kentucky, and they lost in overtime to LSU by a field goal as well. Think about that. They are a kick going their way, two kicks going their way from being undefeated. And you look at Ole Miss, that defense is really damn good, and the offense has a ton of talent. I wouldn't call it great, but the offense is good. Like, I know what I'm going to get from Ole Miss pretty much week in and week out. Defense is a lot better than what people thought. And even when Jackson Dart throws a pick early, leaves the game, comes back, he is a more than competent college quarterback. Like, they're a really good program. Even in the games where you want to see more for them, like Kentucky, where you felt like the offense didn't show up, they still had a chance to win. Alabama, the reason why they're more dangerous is I think their ceiling is higher. But the problem with Alabama is they don't play, for the most part this year, complimentary football. Like, how many times have I sat behind this microphone this year when I'm talking about Alabama, who I picked to go to the national championship game before the season started? And I've said, oh, the offense looks great, but the defense has been a no-show. Or the defense couldn't stop anybody against Vanderbilt, but the offense showed up. Like, it goes both ways. Whatever the offense has been showing up, the defense hasn't. Whatever the defense has been showing up, the offense hasn't. What you saw up against LSU, though, was not only their best game of the season, we finally saw the Alabama football that we've been asking for, where the defense was lights out, and then Jalen Milroe, whose awareness was absolutely putrid up against Tennessee, Jalen Milroe was the best athlete on the field between Alabama and LSU, and look at the athletes that they have. That 72-yard touchdown run that Jalen Milroe had in the second half, it looked like he was jogging, and he was still miles and miles and miles in front of all those defenders for LSU. So I do think Ole Miss is the team that's more consistent. Ole Miss is the team that I trust more. But if I ask the question, who is more dangerous? Is it Ole Miss or is it Alabama? I think it's actually Alabama, because Alabama has been all or nothing on the offensive side of the ball, all or nothing on the defensive side of the ball. But if you get the defense being all out and the offense being all out, yeah, I do think that's a better team than what Ole Miss has to offer, even with all the NIL money and all the talent that Ole Miss has. So I trust the Rebels more, but the team that is more dangerous moving forward to me are the Alabama Crimson Tide. And I just look right now at the rankings. Like, Oregon can win a national championship. Ohio State can win a national championship. Texas can win a national championship. Penn State, I don't think they can. Indiana, I don't think they can. Tennessee, I think so. BYU, I know, crazy game up against Utah. I don't think they can win a national championship. Notre Dame, who lost to Northern Illinois this year, playing better, going to make the playoff. I don't think they can win a national championship. Alabama can. Ole Miss can. You know, if Georgia gets in, yeah, even though I don't trust Carson Beck, they can. Miami just went down to Georgia Tech. Even if Miami would have come back and won that game, I didn't think Miami was a national championship contending team. Boise State's not going to win a national championship. They can win a playoff game this year, but they're not going to win a national championship. SMU, I don't think they can. Texas A&M, I don't think they can. Clemson, I don't think they can. Colorado, I don't think they can. But I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of BYU. At this rate, I'd be surprised if Colorado doesn't make the college football playoff. And I'll get more into that in just a bit and explain why. But a lot of us were wrong on Colorado, and we just look at them as individuals. They're starting to play like a team. Like, Amari McNeil, hello. I'll spoil it right now. He'll be my superstar shout-out tomorrow. He was sensational in that game on the defensive line. But most people could only probably tell you Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, Shiloh Sanders, and Coach Prime when talking about Colorado. This is fun, man. This is really fun. And I was against going to 12. And it's like, hey, the football gods, whatever they want, they always get it. Because you've had the most chaotic year I could ever remember where even the top teams are falling. And it has opened the door for a 12-team playoff that no one in the country right now could sit here and guarantee me who the 12 teams are. And just look at Georgia. Perfect example. Last week, everyone thought they were winning, we're going to be having a bye. Or at least be in the college football playoff. Now when the rankings come on out tomorrow, I don't think they're going to be a top 12 team. I really don't. The AP had them as 11 yesterday. I do not think they'll be a top 12 team, though, when you look at the rankings that come out tomorrow. So this is crazy. So who do you trust more? Is it Ole Miss and Alabama or Alabama? And who's the more dangerous team? I trust the Rebels more, but I think Alabama is the more dangerous squad. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. JD in South Carolina wants to start us off. He wants to discuss the Georgia loss to Ole Miss. JD, what's shaking? Appreciate the call.
Oh, yeah, Zach, thank you for taking my call. The first thing I wanted to ask you, I had two questions. One, you had another one come up there after you started talking for a minute. But you mentioned lethargic and hubris. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get your take, though, on how humorous it was of this video of Jake Pope.
Oh, terrible.
Are you kidding me?
For people that do not know, you had a reserve player pretty much on Georgia celebrating with parents of a Ole Miss player. I guess they went to high school together. But you had the Ole Miss fans storming the field, but you're on Georgia now. Like, you could say hello to the parents, you could give them a hug, but you can't be jumping up and down as if you won the game. And I saw Kirby Smart call the kid an idiot today.
Right, yep, Kirby Smart definitely called him out. I don't think Kirby Smart said anything about Carson Beck, though, cheesing on the sideline or cheesing after he got sacked numerous times and threw interception after interception. Carson Beck's play has just went way down here over the last few weeks.
And he doesn't have that it factor. Like, I saw what you saw, and I did notice it when he was smiling and laughing on the sideline. Like, I'm not going to trash him for that. But all throughout the year, we've been told he's going to be something, and he just doesn't look like he has that killer instinct. Like, when adversity hits you in the face, I have not seen a level of toughness from Carson Beck where he punches back and then leads his team to where they should be. Like, even in that Alabama game, he played a fine second half, but then with the game on the line, after he displayed some of that toughness, it went poof right into thin air because he threw that interception at the end of the game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, interceptions have killed that kid this year. And so this is the last thing you were mentioning. Who do we trust more, Ole Miss or Bama? Dude, this is what I need an answer to. I've been asking this question for several days. I don't know how we are going to distinguish. So, say, for example, that Texas or Texas A&M ends up 7-1 in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever finishes 6-2, there's going to be like four teams, if not five, that finish 6-2 in the SEC. So how in the world is the College Football Playoff Committee ever going to distinguish which one of these SEC teams actually deserves to get into the College Football Playoff? Because to me, I don't think more than three SEC teams can get in. So,
you could get four in. One gets a bye, and you could get three other in. I think you could get four. But, hey, you could make a case that maybe five should get in. But you look at it right now, and appreciate the phone call, JD, and it's a great question. You know, Tennessee, A&M, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama. To me, those are the six. And I think four will eventually get in. But it's going to be absolutely wild. But, hey, if Georgia loses this weekend, then they're out. They lose to Tennessee, they're definitely out. And then if Tennessee loses, all that great momentum goes away, and they can't afford to lose again. So these final 2-3 weeks are going to be absolute mayhem. All righty, we'll take a break. I got to talk about Colorado. Because as much as there's been to react to this past weekend, the team I was most impressed with was actually Colorado. I'll tell you why on the other side. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up 55 minutes from now, Ole Miss safety Trey Washington will join us at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today. Kalen DeBoer, the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, will stop by as well. What a crazy weekend of college football. Usually on these Mondays, we will lead the show with NFL, and then in this segment, get to college. Well, the first two segments of the show today are going to be all about college football. I also want to say this right out of the gate, too. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you to all who are serving and who have served our country. And obviously, remember many great veterans that are unfortunately no longer here with us today. Without you, we don't have the freedom that we get to have and the way that we get to live in our great country. So just wanted to say happy Veterans Day to all. Had a fun time, actually, yesterday celebrating, right, a little Veterans Day and a little get-together and watching some football at Bob's Bar, Marash's Bar, his father's bar on Long Island. Got to see DA, who was there, Mike Babchek, from obviously SiriusXM, and one of our favorite veterans, Carlos with a K, Carlos Ortiz, was there. And Carlos said this is the first time he's a free agent from Veterans Day, obviously with the great military service that he had for all those years and now working here full-time. So a fun time on Long Island yesterday. You know, Stu, I kind of felt bad. So I did my show on Long Island yesterday, Sunday morning football from 10 a.m. to 12. I did it remote. And then I drove over to Marash's house. And I got there probably like 12:50 p.m. Eastern. You know, I stayed around, you know, hung out with my parents a little bit after the show and then, you know, drove over there. So I was there from about 12:50 to 5:30. And DA, who obviously did our morning show and a bunch of shows here on the network for 10 years or whatever, he was doing his YouTube show there. So I get a text from my sister at like 5:15. Hey, like, when are you coming back to mom and dad's? We're doing dinner with grandpa, my 97-year-old grandpa, who just moved from New Jersey to here, and he's like 10 minutes from us now. So I didn't know what time that was going to be. So I had to like piece at like 5:30 p.m. Eastern, and DA's show started at 5. So they were like, where's Gelb? We want to talk to Gelb on the YouTube stream. And I was getting like all these tweets, you know, where are you? Where DA wants to talk to you. I had to go to dinner. And we ordered in because I had to watch the games, obviously, and the Sunday night game was going to happen as well. We ordered in from this place called Ropke's on Long Island, which is a very good Italian spot. I had mac and cheese for dinner with filet mignon, and it was perfectly seasoned. It was pretty, pretty, pretty good. So very fun time hanging out with Pete the Body Bilotti yesterday, DA, Babchick, also Carlos with the K, a few other listeners. Gordon was there from Vancouver. And you know who was also there? Moist Pork. The legendary Moist Pork. So I was talking to Moist Pork. I guess a lot of people on the YouTube chat, they have their own like private, like, you know how we have like a Slack to communicate? They have their own private thread or something like that. I was like, oh, I wonder what the comments are like in there. And Moist Pork's like, you like some of them. You also probably dislike some of them as well. Like, very nice guy, but always good to see Moist Pork. We had a very good conversation about Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback at BYU. And then Moist Pork goes, oh, I missed that interview. And we were talking about Judaism, obviously, me and Moist Pork. And he goes, can you send me the interview? So I only had like two drinks there. Carlos with the K, he made some concoction. It was like called Happy Juice. I don't know what exactly was in it. It made you feel happy. It made you feel good. And I had two drinks from that were made from whatever batch Carlos with a K did bring. But I said to Moist Pork, oh, just give me your cell phone. I'll text you the link. Now, I love Moist Pork. And I think Moist Pork is not going to start hitting me up like every single second. But now I just wonder if maybe Moist Pork and I are going to develop a little bit of a texting relationship. So it was good to see Moist Pork, some listeners, and a very good time at Bob's Bar, obviously, on Long Island. And it's Marash's parents' house. And it's really cool. Like, they had all the games there. You know, everyone was winning money. I was 4 for 4 yesterday in games that I gambled on. Because, man, I'm really annoyed on the air. I really am. So the last 5 weeks, I'm 11-4, which is, how could you be mad at that? But I should have had back-to-back 3-0 weeks. Last week, I gave you Commanders laying 4.5, Pats plus 3.5, Vikings minus 5. This week, I had the Bills minus 4, the Eagles minus 7. I had the Patriots plus the points, but then someone that I trust in the gambling world told me Giants laying 6.5, they've ever been more confident in their life on a game. So I was like, all right, you know what, I'll listen, I'll swap out the Patriots. And the Giants laying 6.5 obviously didn't cover, and then the Patriots won outright, so they would have covered the 6.5 points that they were getting in that one. So still, 17-13 on the season, 11-4 in the last 5 weeks. We will definitely take it. But yesterday, I put the Bills laying 4, the Eagles laying 7. I then had a anytime touchdown parlay of Tyrone Tracy and Najee Harris. And then I got the Lions when they were down at plus 186 money line. And how those kicks went in by Bates, I couldn't believe it. I've never seen a kick come close to hitting the upright without hitting the upright twice, and both went in, than that kicker for the Lions, and the Lions ended up coming on back even in a game where Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. But I'll tell you, after everything I got to see this weekend in all the college football and all the NFL that I watch, the team I'm most impressed with is Colorado. Because I was always an advocate of Coach Prime getting a big-time job. Like, when he landed at Colorado, which is not a big-time job, when he was at Jackson State, I said, I want to see him in the SEC. I was saying a school like Auburn should hire him. And in year one, I thought they would win 4 games. Now, they did end up winning 4 games, but when they started off 3-0, kicking the snot out of TCU, Nebraska, and then just surviving up against Colorado State, the expectations changed where when you're 3-0, you got to go win 3 more games and get to a bowl game. They didn't do that last year. They won 1 game down the stretch. But at the end of last season, we kind of looked at Colorado. All right, Travis Hunter's a star. Shedeur Sanders is a star. But what else do you got? And we knew they were going to revamp the entirety of the offensive line. The defense wasn't portraying or projecting to be any good this upcoming year. And through the first 2 games of the season this year, North Dakota State, they were underwhelming. Shedeur was running for his life. The defense wasn't any good. And up against Nebraska, they got smacked. So when they were 1-1 to start off the year, if you would have told me that Colorado would have been 7-2, and not only 7-2, a good chance of being a college football playoff team this year, I would have said, what are you smoking? I thought they were going to be right on the cut line of getting bowl eligibility. I thought they were going to be a 5-win program and just miss out. But you've seen the strides and the development of these players. I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Prime and his staff. Because we thought Coach Prime was just recruiting and getting individuals. No, he's recruiting a team. And they are developing these players. And it's unbelievable to see what has transpired. Like, they're 7-2 right now. They were down 13-0 to Texas Tech. And they came back and they won the game 41-27. Imagine they got off to a good start in that game. But their final 3 games are Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. I know there's no gimmies after this past weekend of college football. Heck, Kansas beat Iowa State. Iowa State went from being undefeated to they lost their last 2 games. But they should beat Utah. They should beat Kansas. They should beat Oklahoma State. And, you know, we should have a Colorado BYU Big 12 championship game. That should be the Big 12 championship game. And BYU, you know, they just survived up against Utah. We'll get into the call later up in the show. I didn't have a problem with it, but the Utah AD was freaking out. But this is crazy. Like, even if they go 2-1 in their next 3, they're going to be then a 9-3 football team. No one would have ever thought they'd be a 9-3 football team. But I'd be disappointed it's a not 10-2. And if they could go beat BYU, let's say in the Big 12 championship game, then they're in the college football playoff. Colorado, who when Coach Prime took it over, they were a 1-win program. And that defense was the best part of that game. When you have Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, right, you would think that they would be the story. If you actually watch that game, the defense and what Colorado's defense was able to do and their line, how they've improved offensively, was very impressive. That kid, Amari McNeil, he had the run stuff. You know, he had a 1.5 sacks in a game, like 9 tackles. He was absolutely phenomenal to watch. So this Colorado story is awesome. It's real. It's spectacular. And there's always going to be questions about the future of Deion and what's going to happen. Like I saw today, someone was on ESPN. I think it was Rex Ryan who was saying, oh, maybe he'll be the Cowboys coach. I don't think he's going to the NFL. I don't. But if you're in a big program here, or like you're in a bigger conference than the Big 12, and you're struggling, how do you not give Coach Prime a call? Now, there's going to be what can he be without Shador and without Travis, but you look at what he's just done this year. Look at the rest of the team. You know, all we usually talk about with Colorado is Coach Prime, Shador Sanders, and Travis Hunter. There's a lot of other really good players on this team that are worth talking about. And they are now playing team football. They're not playing like individuals. And that line has settled down. That line has got better. And defensively, ooh, I'm really impressed with that defense. You know, I at this rate, even though I love the BYU story, and I get it, BYU's undefeated, I would be surprised at this rate if Colorado doesn't make the college football playoff. Because I do think Colorado meet BYU in the Big 12 championship game. And if you put a gun to my head right now, I would say Colorado ends up winning that game. But look at what Coach Prime's been able to do in two quick years at Colorado. You have two guys that are going to go in the top five, top 10 of the draft. Arguably, right, Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders should both be going to New York as Heisman Trophy finalists. Travis has a great chance to go win the award. And this is a Colorado team that it's on the table where they could win the Big 12 this year and then have a bye and be in the college football playoff. Huh? At Colorado. That is just simply amazing. And that performance up against Texas Tech, even with how great Ole Miss was and even with how great you got to see, obviously, Alabama play up against LSU, I was most blown away by what Colorado was able to do this past weekend. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. Trey Washington from Ole Miss going to stop by at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time. Kalen DeBoer, the head football coach at Alabama, will stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today. But when we come on back, we'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We will get to a news brief next. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, news brief time. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time to ask the pros. For you, the listener, gets asked us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, I'm thinking about doing a new segment, Stunat of the Week. And I may be stealing it from Bill Ryder, who I think Bill does Bum of the Week. But Stunat of the Week. Just in this segment, Micah Parsons would be under consideration. And then also, the kid at Georgia would be under consideration as well. But let's start off with Micah Parsons, who, by the way, Mike McCarthy, last year under contract with the Cowboys. Everyone know, quack, quack, he's a lame duck. This is what Micah Parsons had to say about his coach after the game.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But guys, I kind of feel bad for these guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
Here's my advice to Micah Parsons. I'm going to sound like Coach Calhoun back in the day at UConn. Shut up. All right. Your team got embarrassed once again. No one thought you were going to do anything positive in that game, your team. On paper, the Eagles should have blown you out. They did blow you out. And we know the only way the Eagles were going to mess up that game and not cover the 7-point spread, which they ended up doing so, was if Nick Sirianni did something stupid. But in a loss like that, where your team got embarrassed, don't add more fuel to the fire when it comes to in terms of embarrassing this organization. To then basically just say, like, I don't care what happens on Mike McCarthy at the end of the year, the guy I actually feel bad for is Zach Martin. It's like, that's still your coach. You may not like him, but that's still your football coach. You don't even respect him when you give an answer like that. It's like, oh, Mike could go wherever, but the guy I really feel bad for is Zach Martin, like one of the true legends of the game. And here's the thing with Micah Parsons. Really great player. But he's entitled, right, to do his podcast. I know this wasn't on his podcast. He's talking to the media after the game. He puts his foot in his mouth over and over and over again. Did it with us. Said T.J. Watt wasn't a top five pure pass rusher in the league. And now he's basically just dumping all over his coach. Ay, ay, ay. Micah Parsons. What are we doing? Here is Mike Tomlin. Steelers just survived up against the Commanders. Nice job at the end of the game getting them to jump and making a team that's been playing a little bit better than what they should be. Obviously, with the Commanders are a lot better than what they should be. Look like an inexperienced team, finally. But Mike Tomlin was asked after the game, does Jaden Daniels remind him of Lamar Jackson?
Man, be real slow comparing people to Lamar Jackson. That's a multi-time MVP. That's Mr. Jackson. We'll see Mr. Jackson in a few days.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin's like, I'm not going to put myself in any controversy here. All right, here's the Saints interim coach, Darren Rizzi. So they defeated the Atlanta Falcons in what was a game that no one really cared about, but it was a real tough football game when you look back at that. It was a rough start for the interim head coach, even though he won. You listen up.
No, man, I'm a pretty open guy, so this is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, get down here to Superdome. I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning. I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Yeah, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So I'm like, really? This is really how we're going to start my day? So there was moments today where, like, I'm almost forgetting. I'm just going through my routine, and I'm kind of forgetting that I'm the head coach a couple times.
Let's be real, Stu. Do you think he clogged the toilet because he was distracted? Because I have done that before, where I've been on the toilet and I've been like, I don't know, on my phone, or you're just distracted, and then you put too much toilet paper in there. Now, he could have just put a large present in the toilet, and that's why it got clogged. But do you think he was distracted by something, or he was just really nervous and he didn't realize how much toilet paper he was putting in the toilet?
I think it's toilet paper. That would be my guess.
So you think he was just nervous?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I
guess we'll never know.
That would be a good fight. You know, I want to, Samter, can we reach out to the Saints? I want to talk to their interim head coach about how you clogged the toilet. You know, like, two questions. Were you nervous? Were you distracted? Was it just a large number two? What was it? I wonder how many clogged toilets there were yesterday at Bob's Bar, if I'm being honest. Now, I didn't go to the bathroom when I was there, but with how many people that were there with all the food that they were eating, all the drinks that they were consuming, probably could have been a few Darren Rizzies there. Alrighty, let's get to Deebo Samuel. He got into it, the long snapper, and Jake Moody as well on the sideline, and he got a little physical. Here's Deebo on the sideline incident.
Normally, I don't even get like that, but just like frustrated in the heat of battle, you know, really close game. And, you know, I kind of got out of character a little bit, but, you know, I'll talk to Moody and, you know, we'll get past it.
Out of character? Like, Debo's just a jerk. He always seems miserable. And I understand you're upset because the special teams wasn't going your way. But to basically shove your long snapper and your kicker, you know, I understand if you walk over to them and be like, let's go, come on, wake up, make the kicks. But to get physical, I thought that was low class from Deebo Samuel. Surprise, surprise. Alrighty, here is Kirby Smart on now this viral video of Jake Pope on Georgia celebrating with parents of an Ole Miss player that he knows and that he grew up with after Georgia lost to Ole Miss and the Ole Miss fans were storming the field.
Kirby, there's a video on social media of Jake Pope seemingly celebrating with some Ole Miss fans on the field after the game. Just wanted to see if you had seen that and what your reaction to it was.
Yeah, what an idiot. I mean, just stupid. I didn't see it till today, but he's embarrassed about it. He's upset about it. That's obviously a childhood friend of his. He grew up and played with there at Buford and knows him, hadn't seen him in forever, but just not real smart.
This is a accountability problem in the Georgia program. And I understand what happened here is not as serious and pales into comparison to a lot of the things that happened off the field. But they have not had control. Kirby has not had control of his program in really the last year, year and a half. I know that they've won a ton. But there's a lot of things off the field that happen that are serious. And then this happens and it's like, is there any accountability in this program? Or is it just all the only thing that matters if we win or lose football games? Now, Jake Pope, he addressed this situation. This is a statement that he read. I wanted to address the videos that have been put out there after the Ole Miss game. First and foremost, I want to say sorry for the way it was taken out of perspective and has caused distractions and commotion for my teammates and coaches. This is not representative of who I am in any way. In no way, shape, or form would I ever celebrate a loss in this program. And anyone who knows me well knows that. My longtime family friends had come up to me unexpectedly after the game as I was trying to get off the field to safety, and we were extremely excited to see me after the game. I was also surprised to see them as well, and that's why you saw the reaction that I gave via video. They are also very close with my former teammate and my longtime friend on the Ole Miss team, which is why they have those jerseys on. They have come to my games as well. I'm Georgia through thick and thin, and I've never loved a group of guys more than the guys I go to battle with day in and day out. Lastly, and once again, I'm sorry to my teammates, coaches, and fans all around about the way that video looked, and I chose to move forward and get ready for a great rest of the season with my brothers. Go Dogs. Hey, here's the thing. I understand you're excited to see, right, friends of yours. You can't be jumping up and down like you just won a national championship. You could, right? A lot of times teams lose. They walk over, they shake hands, like, give a hug. But he looked like he was jumping up and down, and he was happy for their happiness because, right, the kid that he grew up with won for Ole Miss defeating Georgia. It's just a really bad look. Not the end of the world, but a really bad look for a Georgia program. And now we don't even know if they're going to make the college football playoff.